你我追了。
没有。They wanna know. Hey. 没有。
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And here's a headline that was just published, or yesterday? Last night. Exclusive. Olivia Munn cancels Today interview to avoid questions on scandals. Scandals, plural. Olivia
Munn
cancels Today interview to avoid questions on scandals.
What? Wait, what's the source in that? Can you like actually open
it,
please?
It's page 6, and so I believe it. It's just the rudest story. Olivia Munn pulled out of an interview with the Today Show at the last minute because she didn't want to face awkward questions about any number of scandals, Page Six has learned. So it's the dog walking app, WAG, which they say has been responsible for a number of missing and dead dogs. This is the rudest story.
So wait, I was going to say, can I name her scandals first?
Yeah, okay, so WAG. Okay, what's the other one?
WAG, where like she's not responsible for dead dogs, but they'll be like, you are a like co, you are like investing in this company that like kills dogs, and she'd have to respond to it. Number two is the Fug Yourself Girls.
Yep.
Number four, are people still talking about Japanese potatoes? No. Is that even listed in there?
It's barely a scandal. It's her.
What is it?
It's her referencing a scandal.
What did she say?
Let me just read this.
She's like, Bush did 9/11.
It's her.
Like, what is it? What is it?
They're like, Olivia, what can you tell us about the dead dogs? And she's like, I don't know, but I don't think people went to the moon.
Yeah, like, she's trying to change their...
Changing the
conversation, Olivia.
It's her women's health interview that was completely wackadoo.
Oh, that's the most recent one.
She mentioned that she suffered, quote, an all-over body rash.
We didn't talk about this. Right. Yeah. She had a wacky Women's Day interview. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She didn't say she was an anti-vaxxer in that interview, but that interview had extremely big anti-vax energy. She had big B-A-V-E.
I bet there's, like, specific questions you ask someone they could answer that would, like, basically tell you that they're an anti-vaxxer. But the thing is about her is, like... She cannot avoid these things somehow. Yeah. And I wonder where this Page Six report came from. Like, did it come from like the booker at Today Show who like tried to book her and they said no?
I always say I trust Page Six. I assume this came from a primary, like someone at Today.
Someone who works at Today who was like, we had Olivia Munn booked, but like she unbooked herself because like she didn't want to talk about like dead dogs.
She didn't want to face, I mean, this is explicit in its explanation for her not being there. She did not want to face awkward questions about any number of scandals.
It's wild that she was like, oh, Today Show's not going to like softball me. They're going to give me the real, like, I'm going to have to answer for my issues.
Jenna Bush Hager is not going to hold anything back. I love that she is like the reader now. She's like, I'm the reader. Like her new thing now that Kathy's gone, Jenna has to like find a niche.
Oh, she loves
niche
to read.
Books. They revealed their book club pick and it's the Linda Holmes novel, Evie Drake Starts Over. And I was watching the video of them introducing it and it was like, and before we reveal our summer book club pick, like we're going to have our resident reader, Jenna Bush Hager, do the honors. And I was like,
our
resident reader? What?
She's the one woman who can read on staff. What are you talking about?
All right. It's July 1st. Jenna Bush Hager here, our resident reader. Since it is this first day of July, that means hashtag read with Jenna book club pick.
Anyway, Olivia Munn canceled her Today Show appearance due to any number of scandals.
That's amazing that she has more than one. You know who also definitely can't read or has issues? Chris Angel, who I saw last night on Broadway. Oh my God. It was such an experience.
I forgot to ask you about this.
It was, I went for my friend Gab's birthday wanted to go, who has interests that are so inexplicable sometimes that she'll be like, I want to do this for my birthday.
I just spilled coffee all over my pants.
It's because I'm right. Like interests, my friend Gab is literally a doctor, and she'll be like, for my free time, of which I have not a lot, I would like to go see Chris Angel Mind Freak on Broadway. So we go to Chris Angel Mind Freak on Broadway, and the reason why Chris Angel is on Broadway is because he's there for like 5 days, and it's always been his dream to be on Broadway. Like, it's wild. So he is from Long Island. He's like Greek and from Long Island, and his dream is like Broadway. So in the audience is like his mom, his son, his sister, his brother. Like, it's wild. But what's crazy is, like, the audience is, I would say, three quarters, maybe six-eighths full I would say is more accurate, 6/8 full. So there's like a lot of empty seats up in the balcony, and you can tell that like Chris Angel.
6/8 is 3/4, by the way.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Oh my God, you're right. But 6/8 feels more accurate than 3/4. 3/4 felt mean.
Yeah, it like suggests a certain density. Yeah, I guess I understand what you're
saying. Because I almost said 7/8, and then I was like, it was like a little bit less than 7/8.
A little bit less than 7/8 is 3/4.
Wow, who's the mind freak now? It's me. I can't do math.
Okay, so you're at the 6/8 full, so Chris Angel.
What's funny is that, like,
magic,
Chris,
right?
Chris Angel can definitely sell out Vegas. He has for many years. Like, that is his place. Like, this show is made for a Vegas audience and a Vegas stage, right? On Broadway, it's so weird, right? Because
it
just doesn't fit. It's much more intimate. And he keeps saying, I'm so happy to be on Broadway. Like, it's my dream to be on Broadway. And I'm thinking, like, does he mean to do his show or does he mean to be in, like, Cats? Because it almost feels like he'd rather be in Cats. Mm-hmm. So his show is, I mean, Chris Angel Mind Freak is, like, he's famous for having, like, camera trick magic. You know, like, he does these, like, kind of almost sometimes gross out wild stunts. But he's known for, like, the camera angles kind of being hiding the secrets to his tricks. So a live show for him is very strange because he's doing like things that he doesn't do on a show. Well, are like he has like a card thing. He does like something with coins. It's very weird. Like he does, this is a trick that a lot of magicians do, but he swallows razors, then swallows a thread and then pulls out the razors on the thread. But Chris Angel, because he's a freak, he takes like an endoscopy. Sorry, I know I'm pronouncing it wrong.
Endoscopy?
Like he takes a camera and puts it down his throat so you can see the razors in his throat. Because there's a lot of, like, screens. But also, like, you can tell that that's, like, pre-recorded. Like, it's not real.
There's so, also... wait, what was, did he do any sort of mind freaky stuff that made you go, like, damn, that's freaky? Like, what was the most impressive trick that he did? Because you're, like, seeing through all the bullshit. But what did he do that actually?
He did two tricks that I thought were impressive. One because it was definitely a quick technology switch. And one because it was genuinely him getting out of some kind of straitjacket. Mm-hmm. He goes into a straitjacket and then he locks himself in a box. And then the lady stands on the box and they switch places immediately. That's, a tough one. But, like, that the only reason why, and that has a trick. Like, there's obviously a trap door and did it and there. But what's amazing about that one is it's really fast. Mm-hmm. And he is totally, like, locked up in the straitjacket. And he had just told this insane story about how, do you remember when they hung him in two straitjackets in Times Square with a noose around his neck?
How,
like, with
I
a brick at the end?
Yeah.
So getting out of that straitjacket, he pulled his rotator cuff, like, out of his body and had to get, like, major surgery. And he showed footage from the surgery. So I look at Gab and she's like grinning because they're showing surgery. There is also a video interstitial in which Jonathan, what's his face from Korn, and him are like doing a video together, and he's holding a gun to Jonathan Korn's head.
Oh,
that was
God.
So strange. And then the other trick that I thought was impressive but is such a bullshit trick is that, like, he does this full intro video about how, like, you know, like, money, like, no money serial numbers are the same or whatever. And, like, you it's so rare that you come across, like, the same piece of money again in your life. And then he, like, has a woman in the audience, like, read off, like, a serial number on her dollar. And then he spray paints the number onto, like, a big board. And then he shows a clip of his own house in Vegas. And he's like, hey, I'm at my house in Vegas. Like, do you want to take the Lambo or the Rolls Royce? And then the lady, like, chooses, like, I want to buy the Lambo, like, with her $20. And then he's like, in the video, he, like, opens, he's like, oh, you chose the Lambo and the $20. And he, like, pulls out a $20 bill from, like, his stack of money, and it has the same serial number.
Yeah, which they added.
Which they totally, like,
they
did
added
in
really
post
quickly and after
quickly
effects.
Behind yeah. stage. Yeah, yeah, like, it was just so, it was, like, in the moment, you're like, whoa. But then I was just like, they totally just, like, video edited that behind stage, which is, like, the funniest simple answer. Like, his magic is so funny because it has the easiest answers. And then he does that thing where he floats, you know? But it's just, like, him on a wire.
But is he,
but he
was
loves
he in the corner?
To float. No, he does that thing where he walks down the side of a ladder. Have you seen that?
No, and I'm not Googling this. Isn't Gary Oldman really good friends with him? That's so
strange.
Yeah,
Oh, the other thing was he had these ladies come on stage with their purses, and then he, like, asked, he was, like, trying to make their greatest fears appear, and he asked one lady what her greatest fear was, and she said money. And it was so, and everyone was like, oh, Chris!
First call.
Hi. So I know some of the stuff in the Dominican Republic is a little iffy, but I will say that the numbers aren't that high. You would have no idea how many people come to theme parks like Disney or, you know, the Orlando area and are gravely ill or suddenly become diagnosed with something that is potentially lethal if not caught. So, yeah, a lot of people do go on vacation and die. I just am saying this as someone who works in a hospital that is near the theme parks tourist areas. A lot of people come into the hospital with really rare stuff and weird stuff. And also people just know that they're sick and don't think that they're going to live long and then go travel. I know that's dark, but it is actually pretty common enough for people to go on vacation and die. And for 11 people out of how many people visit the Dominican Republic, that's kind of on par. Just wanted to call and let you know. Bye.
I love that call because, like, all of American press is like, don't go to Dominican Republic, you'll die. And then someone's like, literally go to Orlando and you'll be dead in 24 hours. Like,
oh, my God. Well, go on vacation and die. This is that's
Happy Independence Day.
I know. Have fun over July 4th weekend.
What's next?
Let's keep on moving.
Let's keep on moving. Okay.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time. So I was just listening to this week's episode and started laughing when Lindsay said that Tara Marie had a recording contract in the 80s and 90s. That was actually probably Tina Marie. Tara Marie wasn't born until 1987, so she was not signed to Jay-Z's Rockefeller Records in the 80s and 90s. She was signed, however, in 2003, didn't really pop until 2010, and then is now making a brief resurgence on Love and Hip Hop Hollywood with the latest headline about her being that one of her butt implants popped on during filming. So, yes, that is – oh, and Tina Marie is actually deceased. So one's butt popped and one died. Happy Pride, my gay boys and girls. Crunch, crunch.
Thank you. What do you say to that?
First of all, I didn't even notice that you said that. Second of all, after this call, I went to Tina Marie's Wikipedia. Well, I know she's dead, but it's so fucking bleak. Literally a thing that I'm scared of all the time happened to Tina. Her, and it ruined her life.
What, did like a crane fall on her head or something?
We were close. In 2004, worse. In 2004, while Tina Marie was sleeping in a hotel room, a large picture frame fell off the wall and hit her on the head. She got a serious concussion. It caused seizures for the rest of her life. And those seizures are apparently what ultimately killed her.
Oh my God. That's so bleak. We gotta go.
We don't have anything over our bed. I'm in no rush because I'm scared of putting stuff over the bed.
You never put stuff over the bed. Not the way I hang things.
Our last apartment, we had a framed photo over the bed and I was like always a little scared of it. But it was like an IKEA frame. Like, you know, like if it fell, it probably wouldn't have hurt. But like, we want to put this thing over, but that's like a big framed thing.
No.
And it's like, it kind of freaks me out.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Poor Tina Marie. That's sad.
That's so scary. We need a happy. Can we get a happy call, please? This is a happy call.
Hi, this is Will in Texas. And this is an unconditional call. But I would just like to give a shout out. And you're doing amazing, sweetie. But like, for real. To the hooligans in the Bachelor Facebook group, we've been running a fundraiser to sponsor a nonprofit organization that one of the Bachelor contestants this year works with, and we raised $350, which will fund like 4 or 5 school trip excursions for some underprivileged kids in New York to go to a nice restaurant and have a physical activity. So anyway, I just want to say I'm proud of our Bachelor hooligans doing good work. We have to atone for the trash that we consume by watching this show. But I'm proud of everybody. Bree, Larson, and Greece.
Congratulations, sweeties. That's good. I'm glad that you're like, y'all. It's nice to come together over like some trash, but like actually make it nice.
Yeah. And then the last comment call is going to be this one. Hold on to your butts.
Hello, this is Lena Dunham calling you from Wales. I've been living in Wales for roughly 2 months, And I'm obsessed with listening to WHO Weekly because I'm completely surrounded by Welsh people. And you guys have been my only tie to American life. So I am shooting a TV show, and then at night when I get home really tired, I listen to back episodes of WHO Weekly. And I got really excited when I started listening to WHO Then, which, by the way, is not inferior to your regular episodes. But I was like, maybe I can call in. I'm not expecting to get on the show, but I do want to tell you that you guys should really consider coming and doing an all UK episode, especially considering that Love Island has taken over the entire national consciousness. And it's just so WHO, because overnight, these incredible WHOs, like a fireman from Surrey, become these total thems. And watching the WHO them transition and then watching them get kicked off the show and then transition back into WHOs, it's just so you. I wanted to thank you guys for keeping me company and making life so great, and also just suggest some Love Island action on WHO Weekly. Crunch Crunch, Good Form, Bella Thorne, ScarJo, Yummy Pop, bye.
And there you have it, Lena Dunham saying Crunch Crunch, ScarJo, Yummy Pop.
ScarJo, Yummy Pop.
That's wild.
What can you say about Lena Dunham calling the hotline? I don't think I can say much. Lindsay, tell us about Love Island.
Well, I was going to say, I'm so happy that Lena, even though she's in the UK for work, is getting to enjoy the Love Island just experience, because it's on during the summer. It's on every single day there, and everybody's watching it. So it's like the most insane cultural thing. And I don't have any plans to go to England, but if I made any, I would want to go during Love Island season to experience like what she's talking about, because I am watching Love Island somewhat live. Like, I don't watch it as they're airing because I can't, because I have to wait till like they get uploaded by like some kind Englishman or woman. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. I go find it on various places, which you can totally find yourself if you do a quick Google. I will not tell you where. And it's just honestly astounding. It is an incredible show. Like, it, she's right. Like, it creates these like mega stars from nobodies immediately. And then they're just like plopped off the face of the earth and when they're done on Love Island and like are kind of famous. And then it's like they have to quickly figure out what they're going to do to like stay relevant, or just decide to be like it completely irrelevant. But the Daily Mail covers this like it is Sports Illustrated covering the World Cup, which is, I just made that up, but like what I assume.
Isn't it that big?
It's huge.
Thank you for listening, Lena. I love that you're so knowledgeable about the sign-offs. That's so great.
Yeah, we have to have you on the show. I feel like you have a lot of interesting experiences that our audience would love to hear. And I think that it'd be fun to talk to you about the nature of fame from your experience, right?
You know our number. You know our number.
I was in Florida this past weekend, and guess what was the talk of the town?
Your mom's Aura frame?
The Aura frame. The Aura frame kept, it was scrolling through every photo. I was like, oh, there's that. Oh, there's that. I'm like, where'd they get that photo? There's always a photo where I'm like, where'd they get that photo? How'd they get that photo?
I don't know where my mom gets the gifts that she sends me. Like, when she sends me a text gift, I'm like, where did you find that? And sometimes I look at her Aura frame and I'm like, where did you download this?
No, I'm like, where did you get this photo from? Whose Instagram did you steal this photo off of? You know?
They love to steal from, and they love to just screenshot and not crop. So it'll just be like a cropped iPhone photo that's Instagram on the Aura frame.
Exactly, with comments and everything. It'll just be on, it'll be zoomed in sometimes, so it's extra blurry. But you know what? That's how easy it is to get the photos on the Aura frame, because my parents can figure out how to do it. Do they do it well? No, but do they do it? Yes.
And the other thing that's great about Aura frames, when you give them to your mom, your mother, a mother in your life, a mother figure, it's a great Mother's Day gift, whoever the mother in your life is. You can connect it to your Aura app, and you can just send them photos. If they approve it, you can just put photos and kind of troll them and have fun and put random photos. I do it to Lindsay sometimes.
Yeah, he does.
You can do it to your mom. My mom gave me access because she likes putting.
You gotta be careful. You gotta be a little careful with that, but you should do it.
You gotta be a little bit careful. But Aura frames are Wi-Fi connected, and they come with unlimited storage because it's all in the cloud, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone to Mom's frame. Not only will she be grateful it's not another sweater, she'll love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you. So right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code WHO at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. So we got so many calls about this, as we usually get about like the big topics of the week. I downloaded a lot of them. I'm going to play my two favorites. This is number one. Okay.
Taylor Swift, Justin Bieber, Scooter Braun, Scooter Braun's wife, Kanye West, Kim Kardashian West. Hiya, hyaluronic acid, my gay boys, me and Grace.
And then...
psychos.
And then the second best call is just this.
Hi, hyaluronic acid.
Who is Scooter Braun?
Hangs up. Okay, we got a lot of calls about his wife, Yael.
At Yael on Instagram.
Lindsay, you start this one. What is going on?
To be transparent, we like did this quickly and I cut it from the last episode.
We did it on the Tuesday episode.
Because
it's
so
right.
Like themmy, because it's all like Taylor Swift related. But I guess if I was like, okay, it's about Scooter Braun. Okay, so who is Scooter Braun? Right? Like, I can make it about him, sure. Scooter Braun. Real name is Scott, FYI. Scott Braun. Hold
Ava's great-great-grandson. I'm kidding. Imagine.
Somebody's car alarm's going off. I don't know if you can hear it.
I saw a really funny tweet yesterday that was like...
What?
And for our Patreon subscribers, we'll turn off air conditioning while we record.
I always turn it off and I'm sweating.
Me too.
So FYI,
me too. Well,
you guys
I don't even have
are...
air conditioning in this room.
Okay.
I'm always hot in this room.
Scooter Braun is maybe a who to you, but he's a big, he's a them in the music industry. He signed Justin Bieber. He signed Carly Rae Jepsen, our queen. Mm-hmm. He is responsible for a lot of careers. But not only did he like find and discover these people, he's very, very good at keeping his clients kind of like out of trouble, or at least like redeeming them, because the idea
he's
is
the manager.
He is a manager. I mean, he has his own company. He has his own like production company and all of that stuff. But you know, he also found Psy. He gave us Gangnam Style, basically. Ooh, that's my Gudetama making a noise. He found Psy. He found all these people, but he also manages their careers. And more recently, what's interesting about Scooter Braun is that Demi Lovato like got out of rehab and immediately signed with him in a very like, this is the only person who can like handle my bullshit in a way, like my situation, because he did handle Justin Bieber / like kind of take care of him through Justin Bieber's dark period. And now we see Justin Bieber out the other side.
He found him on YouTube and was like, I'm going to make you a star. And he did.
But he also stuck with him and dealt with him through his like bad boy phase. Like, and I think Justin Bieber was like, stop it, you're not my dad, for like years to Scooter Braun. And he, whatever, there is an interesting there's some profiles of him. He's very mysterious on purpose. So he's married to this woman named Yael, who has at Yael on Instagram. I refuse to do any more information, like any research about her, but she's involved in this story, because what happened was, and I'm really gonna try and do long story short.
Oh my god, shut up.
I'm really gonna,
is that a Gudetama thing?
Let me turn it off.
It's your Gudetama Tamagotchi.
Yeah, I gotta turn it off.
The only thing you need to know about Yael is that she founded Fuck Cancer, that like awareness organization, fundraising organization.
Oh, that's cool.
That spreads awareness about cancer to millennials.
Like, millennials don't know about cancer?
It's one of those efforts that like you can't really bemoan, but I'm sort of like, I don't understand the point.
Sure. Okay.
I don't know what it does, but move on.
Long story short, I'm going to mention Taylor Swift as little as I can in this explanation. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift is with this record company called Big Machine. They discovered her, meaning they gave her, they didn't discover her, but they gave her her first recording contract, right? So Taylor Swift's longtime guy who owns this record company is named Scott B. There's millions of Scotts in this story. It's so confusing. Scott B is the guy who runs Big Machine. He's run it for a long time. Taylor's dad, Scott Smith, Scott S, Scott Swift, oh my God, Scott S is on the board of directors because he's a big investor. Is he on the board, or is he in the, you know, there's many different, is he on the board, or is he in the, like, a shareholder?
Scott Swift? he's not on the board.
She releases a ton of music with them. She's obviously signed some contracts with them. They own her music. They own the rights to her music because that's the way that record labels work. It is rare to own your own music from early.
It's especially the way that it works whenever you signed young. Yes. And you sign kind of a shitty contract.
So she's on this record label. She decides she wants to leave the record label to a bigger record label called Universal. This is a big deal because she has been on this one for a long time. She wants like a bigger whatever. She's probably getting a crazy deal, et cetera, et cetera. She goes to Scott B and says, I want to leave the record label. They, according to him, so she writes this long thing on Tumblr that's like, I lost the control of my back music. I don't own it. And I was never offered to buy it, right? He writes on...
I woke up and it was gone.
He writes on his blog, which is kind of the counter to this, to her claim. He has all these, I texted you, I emailed you, we were in contact. You knew that if you left Big Machine for this new deal that you would lose control of your masters. That is what would happen because I tried to give you a better deal so you would maintain control of your masters. You decided not to do it. You went with somebody else and that means you lose control of your music. That's the first half of the story. That's the first part. Then, so she writes in her thing, I feel like I had no idea that Scooter Braun, this is now the third Scott, his name is Scott, Scooter Braun comes in and makes a deal with Big Machine guy to get bought and essentially own that record label alongside Scott B or whatever. So Scooter mm-hmm. Braun now by like the way this has gone owns Taylor Swift's masters. Scooter and Taylor have drama because Kanye West and Scooter Braun are good friends. I think he represents him as maybe a manager, some version of that. And Taylor Swift, as you know, hates Kanye West. And you thought she was over that. She's definitely not over that. That's what we're learning now. So she says, I feel like I have been betrayed. You know, I did not know that Scooter Braun was going to be owning my masters. That is so fucked up. I had no chance of getting them back. And Scott B, again at Big Machine, says, you knew that you would not own them. And I told you as a courtesy that Scooter and I were doing this deal. The timing of this, no one really knows how this happened, but they're like, mm-hmm. you knew. And your father's on the board. So he had to have known because I had to get the sign off of the board. Then Tree Payne, who's Taylor's PR person, comes out and says, no, Scott was not present at that meeting.
He wasn't at the meeting.
And it's like, how did he know not to come to that meeting? Like, there's this whole conversation. So everything.
Sort of like, why wouldn't Scott have been present for the meeting? And even if he weren't present for the meeting, he would know about a decision that big.
So the things that we don't know involve timing, right? Because Taylor Swift is like, I didn't know X, I didn't know Y, I didn't know Z. And Scooter B is like, oh my God, I just realized I'm not Scooter Braun. Scott B. Is like, you knew all these things because I told you and you decided, you made a decision to not be on this label. So you lost control and this is why. And that is the problem. And so what is happening now is Taylor Swift is saying, you know, as a feminist, as an artist, this is fucked up that I don't own my own work and blah, blah, blah. And how could you mm-hmm. not side with someone who says that? She's appealing to very, you know, she's appealing to a specific crowd using this way to say, oh, you know, feel bad for me. And then these men, mm-hmm. which is unfortunate, are coming up and saying, well, here are the receipts. Here's the tea. Here's what happened. And then you can't like put everyone against us. And also Scott B, right. who's like, not only did I sign you first, I've worked with you for a billion years. Like, there's a reason why I own all your masters is because I worked on all this stuff with you and gave you or helped you get to the point and where you are. So it's a very confusing situation, but it's been really funny because when the drama starts, all of the different music people and celebrities take sides. And so you have people tracking like X unfollowed Y, like Adele unfollowed Taylor, like Adele unfollowed, but it's like so fake because none of these people followed each other in the first place. So the big joke right now on Twitter is like saying like, you know, Oprah unfollowed Scooter Braun. It was like Oprah was not following Scooter Braun. like that's a total misnomer. But you do have celebs coming out on Taylor Swift's side or not, you know, via liking posts on Instagram or speaking mm-hmm. up specifically. Because I mean, I think like who did it recently? Like Demi Lovato came out and was like, she said something against Todrick Hall. Like Todrick Hall was like, Scooter Braun is homophobic. Like, I know. And then Demi was like, okay, like, no, stop. Like, he's not. And so
Todrick Hall got involved, even though Todrick Hall had really should have stayed out of it. He really had no skin in the game. And then he steps in. And the moment he steps in, everyone started bringing up Todrick Hall drama that, of course, no one knew about in the past because no one cared.
They're like, Todrick, you don't pay your dancers. Todrick, you don't do this. And he's like,
Todrick, you don't pay your dancers. Todrick, you lie about people. Like, Todrick, you stole money from someone. And he's like, no, I didn't. But it's like, none of this would have happened had they not tried to come to Taylor Swift's defense.
But this is because Taylor Swift inspires this behavior that is so strange. She inspires this, like, us versus them loyalty mentality amongst people that know her.
Trumpian.
It's very weird. It's like Taylor Swift says, like, I have a problem. And then everyone who comes out on her side is like, I stand with Taylor. Like, how dare, you know, and it's very like, it's very strange, the behavior. Yeah.
By being public friends with her, you feel like you somehow owe her for the rest of your life. It's really weird.
It's just this weird thing where she set up her friends to be tracked, their friendship to be tracked. Like, by creating this group of, like, famous friends, now we're, like, somehow all obsessed with, like, the friendships that she made because because she put such an emphasis on them. She's amassed this group of people that she has interacted with and been like, my best friend, my best friend, my best friend. It's like, of course I'm obsessed with being like, what happened to your best friend X? What happened to your best friend Y? You know?
Yeah, exactly. And so whenever, because she had too many of them and they were so out and proud and public for so long, when you started noticing a lot of them dropping like flies, it was like, oh, something's weird here. Why did X and Y and Z people leave? Why did A, B, and C people stay? And like, how much more do they owe Taylor before they're allowed to back
out of the
contract?
She's like a mafia boss. She really is a mafia boss.
It's really weird.
It's very weird. So I don't even know. There are not that many. There are who's, but like, are they? I don't know. This is a pretty A-listy drama. Like,
I mean, Scooter Braun is sort of most people called asking, like, what's Scooter Braun's deal? We've talked about him in the past. I know that.
We have.
But it's like, he's a really incredibly influential manager for this era of pop music. Like, he changed the face of pop music in the 2010s. He helped shape it.
The thing that I kind of think about, it's like there's two separate issues. It's like whether or not Taylor is telling the truth or what her perspective is behind how the music got away from her and whether she was offered to buy it and what situation that would have been and whether she knew about Scooter Braun and when that came into play. Like, these are separate things because she's like wrapping them up into one issue where it's like, Scooter Braun now owns my music. That's fucked up. He doesn't even like me. You know, what is going to happen to my music? Which, fair, you know, like, it'd suck if someone you hated like owned your music. Like, that's a huge bummer. But the question is like two different things. It's like, how did it happen? What was the timeline? Also, Taylor is known to be somebody who loves to, you know,
drum up
lie or not tell the truth about stuff. And then the receipts come and I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's just, we're doing this all over again, right?
Yeah. It's literally the exact same thing.
Honestly, exhausting, as she says in her song. You sign a bad contract, and that's the main sympathy point here. It's like so many artists are like, oh my God, I stand with Taylor because I've also signed like a terrible contract from the beginning of my career to get in the door, and like now I don't own like half my music, right?
Yeah, and that's sort of what the email that Big Machine claims Taylor Swift wrote to her, or no, it was a text message where it was like, you know what? I've decided I could either focus on my past or focus on the future. And you know me, I'm going to focus on my future. So it's like she had, according to these text messages, she had an acute awareness of like what this all meant for her.
And she made the decision.
To make the decision to focus on the me era.
So seemingly what pissed her off and where the disconnect is not that Taylor Swift decided to give up her masters to Big Machine, is that Scooter Braun, it came into Big Machine and now partially owns it. So that's what Taylor Swift claims, that she didn't know what she's pissed about.
Hey, Bobby and Lindsay. Long time. Okay, I sent you guys this on Instagram, but I doubt you check your DMs on Instagram, so in case you didn't see it, the best pregnancy announcement / bonbon I have ever seen in my life, Danielle, I want to say Fisher, but I don't know if that's right, but Casey from Orange is the New Black just announced that she's pregnant on Instagram, and the picture, she's like holding a clear blue pregnancy stick, and like you can see clear blue clearly, like it has to be fun. It is amazing. funny. All right. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
My favorite thing about Danielle Brooks, it's Danielle Brooks, not Danielle Fisher. So I think she was confusing it with Danielle Fischel.
Who is also pregnant.
Who's also pregnant.
She's like about pregnant. To give birth, yeah. Or she did give birth. She did give birth. She gave birth.
Oh, that's great. Good for her. So Danielle Brooks, who plays Tasty on Orange is the New Black, as we said, who is like everyone on Orange is the New Black, like a New York actor. She also did Broadway. She was in The Color Purple. We've talked about her before.
She's in a Shakespeare production right now at Shakespeare in the Park.
She's like a Juilliard student. Yeah. She's like, you know. So she announced her pregnancy on Instagram. On Twitter, she just announced that she was pregnant. But on Instagram, the contract was, you know, that she got a contract to show off the Clear Blue sponsorship on Instagram. And she's holding up the Clear Blue thing. It's clear as day. Her face is out of focus. The pregnancy test is sharply focused. It says pregnant on the screen. Wow, what an easy to read screen.
I love these Clear Blue sponsorships. They're everywhere. What an
easy to read screen.
So Clear Blue, what's funny, also funny about this is that
She's like 9 months,
five months pregnant. Like she waited to announce till she was 5 months in, which makes sense. But then holding up the Clear Blue thing, it's like, did you just like keep this in a drawer till you were ready to like do the spawn? Like, it's just funny how she knew she was pregnant and then was like, how do I announce this? And then someone in her team was like, I could get you sponsored. Like I could get you a spawn for this reveal. It's hilarious.
It is really funny that she had to get this from somewhere else. Do you think Clear Blue has like testing or mock pregnancy tests so that they can just keep on all the time so that they can use them in photographs? Or do you think she actually had to dip it in pregnant pee?
Can I be the first Clear Blue partner that holds up one that says not pregnant? Like why hasn't anyone done that yet? Like, I'll be smiling, too. I'll hold up. I'll be, like, smiling, smart. Like, I'm not pregnant. Like, thanks, Clear Blue. Like, Clear Blue, like, not my partner, but Clear Blue is my partner.
We can do, like, a photo shoot, and I throw you a party, like, a not pregnant party.
Yes.
And you're like, thank you, Clear Blue, for making it so obvious.
I'm telling you, like, that should be, I mean, this is very sweet.
We're in your apartment, and it's like, I really don't have the space for a crib.
Wait, I like give a tour of my apartment to show how small it is, like as the spawn.
Yeah, but actually you have a big apartment. Thank you. Probably fit
but
a crib.
Not for a child.
Yeah, not for a child.
I do have a spare bedroom, but it's not big enough.
The moment that child is walking, like it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, which is why you're happy that it's the not pregnant.
But wouldn't that be incredible? Like
that is so smart, Lindsay.
I know. Like they're not.
Look at you bringing up your ad background.
I'm just saying my brief time in advertising. But these Clear Blues are. This is like a popular spawn. Like remember Alexis Pena Vega? We were obsessed with them for a while. Her and her husband. Mm-hmm. They did it with their fourth child. Emily DeRavin from
Honestly,
Lost.
It's lost the drama when it's lost the drama when it's the fourth child.
I mean, like, I don't care. Jamie Presley did it for her second child. I mean, it's just, oh my God. Jamie Presley's is amazing. She said, big news in our family. Desi's going to be a big brother times two. Get all the details in my interview with People, link in bio. So she not only spawned, she linked in bio'd for People magazine, double the press, double the attention, and she got the money for the spawn. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed.
Yeah, we really need to use the not pregnant.
We should do. Yeah, I need that. Clear Blue, call me. This is a way better.
That's a really good piece of spawn.
Yeah, thank you.
God, more of Danielle Brooks' pregnancy announcement, which she did on her stories. A second photo on her story saw the mom-to-be posing with her shirt pulled off to show up her baby bump, in which she shared she's 20 weeks pregnant. And the caption on the story is, 5 months in, counting my blessings with clear results. Swipe up to make sure you're ready for your hashtag Clear Blue Confirm moment, @ClearBlue, @ClearBlueConfirm, @ClearBluePartner. And it's like, she didn't even try to go off script, you know? Like, that is, counting my blessings with clear results came out of an ad agency plus, like, two creative directors and then, like, client approval. This never went through her brain.
I know. And, you know, not unfortunately, but this is like a guaranteed press moment. Like she got so much press for this. Of course, Clear Blue was mentioned each time. And like, you know, because it's a mixture of that like somebody that people like is pregnant, but then also someone that no one knows who her boyfriend is. He's like this kind of mysterious hunk and whatever. Did you see her? She changed her Instagram bio to be, I predict I'm going to be a mommy. And then it was like, the link goes to Clear Blue.
Oh, that's great. Good for her. Recently, she did a paid partnership with Oil of Olay, and it's her in a tub. But she's in the tub with her towel on.
Yeah.
And she's holding up the Olay.
Normal.
And it says, I'm doing something wild to get ready for a huge photo shoot. For the next 2 weeks, I will only be using the At Olay Body Ribbons Plus to cleanse and moisturize my skin.
What?
And I was like, that's so... Because it's accidentally transparent about how this works that she's going to throw that fucking thing in the trash after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like the...
For this next the moment 2 weeks, check clears. I'm using this soap, and as soon as this thing is done, I'm back to whatever bar soap or like whatever she used
like,
before.
It's like Julianne Moore and he's like Nicole Kidman being like, oh, "I love Jergens," and it's like, "Bitch, you love Jergens when you are on the Jergens set."
I mean, same, honestly. You know, I've tried lots of things to get me to go to sleep in the past, you know, few years. Just a little bit of a push. Got your melatonin, you got your various things. But I've found that of all the things, a little bit of CBD, a little bit of CB distillery, that's getting me.
Goes a long
way. Getting me conked right out and sleeping through the night.
It really is. I love CB distillery. They have... Not all their products are for sleep, some are for relaxation, but like, I love the sleep ones. They say, shh.
Those gummies they sent us, I was in a chill vibe all day when I took two of those.
They're good ass gummies. They're good ass gummies. No, you were. You were like, I took CBD earlier today and I feel chill.
I'm like not operating heavy machinery on those things. You know what I mean? I'm in a good place.
Heavy machinery?
What did I say?
You said heavy machinery, which is good. I like that. I know what you meant. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality, clean ingredients. They all caps the clean, which means you know it's clean. No fluff, no fillers, just effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In 2 non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm, 80% said CBD helped with pain after physical activity, and an impressive 90% said they slept better with CBD. And I'm among those 90%. So if you struggle with a health concern and haven't found relief, make the change like we did to CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money back guarantee, CB Distillery is the source to trust. Hooligans have a 20% discount to get you started. Visit cbdistillery.com and use code WHO, WHO, for 20% off. That's cbdistillery.com, code WHO, cbdistillery.com. I love my Helix mattress. I love my Helix pillow. What else is there to say about Helix? I freaking love it. When I sleep on other beds,
what is there
I
else
get
to
mad.
Say is that I come back to my bed and I'm like, this is the bed. This is the bed. And it's honestly spoiled me for other beds. And I don't like traveling sometimes because I'm like, this is not my bed. Where's my bed?
I want my bed.
It's my special bed. It's my special mattress because it is a mattress that is made for my body.
Mm-hmm. I took the Helix quiz. It told me which Helix mattress to get, and that's the one I got, and that's the one that I love, and that's the one that I will not stop using because it's the best mattress I've ever slept on. Mm-hmm. The mattress is so good that when we got it, my cat Winston became obsessed with it, and now he's on it all the time, and I'm you have to move because need to sleep on the bed. It's my bed. It's not your bed.
Wow.
He's obsessed with it. It's irritating, actually.
Wow.
He likes the Helix so much.
So rude.
Everybody is unique, and I mean everybody, two words, because everyone sleeps differently. Their bodies are different, and that's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. I'm a side sleeper / stomach sleeper. Some people are back sleepers. Some people are exclusively side sleepers. There's a Helix mattress for all of you. Not only is the Helix the best mattress I've ever slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Their mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door. You just open it up and it like kind of like blows back up after it comes out of the plastic and you put it on your bed and it's amazing. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15 year warranty depending on the model. And if you don't want to take our word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/who. That's helixsleep.com/who. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Okay, right now we're going to play a game of who or them. Rapid fire. We got a long list. I'm gonna pick some random ones. Here we go.
Hi, is the Black Eyed Peas a who or a them? Thanks.
1, 2, 3. Them. The group and the bean. I think.
The pea, you mean?
Well, it's technically a bean, I think.
Oh my god.
Okay. I had a really good black-eyed pea hummus.
Incredible.
Like 2 weeks ago. It was so good.
Incredible.
Does anyone in your family make you eat black eyed peas on New Year's?
That is not a my family thing. That's a southern thing. Yeah.
It's a southern thing. Yeah. My dad's always like, did you eat black eyed peas? I was like, yeah.
But I have eaten black eyed peas.
They're so good. Yeah, I used to hate black eyed peas. I used to think they were disgusting. And now I fucking love them. Okay.
Because you're old.
Trevor Noah, who are them?
One, two, three.
Them. I kind of feel like he's now a them.
Because we've done this before. That's why I want to do this. He was a who.
He was a who, and now he's a them. I'm not like, I don't care about it. I don't really want to think about it. But like, he is for sure.
He is.
He's really like come out of his, like, everybody like didn't like him and thought he wasn't. People like him. And
now it's one of those things. I think he's been on TV for so long at this point that it's just like, well, that's him.
Yeah.
He's that guy on, he's Daily Show guy.
Remember his bad tweets? That was like,
oh, they were terrible. Yeah. But it's sort of one of the things where it's like, if you can weather the storm, you're going to be fine. And he weathered the storm.
He did. He did.
Mini Driver. Who or them?
One, two, three. Who?
Like, but used to be a them, but like used is a who a now, which is fine. But
I think she's very mysterious now. She had that ABC show that I think was canceled, but everyone loved it.
Well, she keeps coming up for me. You know, she dated Chris Angel.
Oh, she did.
They were almost engaged. Yeah, but then he left her for Cameron Diaz. Isn't that insane?
Did he actually leave her, or was it just an act?
Like, magic.
Surprise, I didn't actually.
Wait, the other thing about Mini Driver is, remember,
sorry,
she was.
What year did Chris Angel leave Mini Driver for Cameron Diaz?
Google
was that like 2001?
Cameron Diaz, Chris Angel, and you will find the Daily Mail article that corresponds with this. Another fun fact about Mini Driver, which is honestly bleak. Do you remember when she was dumped by Matt Damon on Oprah? Like live on Oprah?
I didn't know that this happened until recently.
It happened.
I didn't know that this happened.
It was a big deal.
Also, Cameron Diaz and Chris Angel found love in Las Vegas in 2007.
Yeah.
Wow. Bad year, 2007.
That's a cursed year for sure.
Cursed year, 2007. Honestly, 2008, a little cursed. All the 2000s have been cursed.
Yeah, they're bad. They're all bad.
Lindsay and Bobby. Renee Brown. Who or them? Crunch, crunch, me and Grease.
One, two, three. Who?
Who? Like, I don't really know her yet.
I think like mom them.
I mean, a huge them, but also like not quite in the public conscious yet.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
It's like a very specific kind of white lady knows who Brené Brown is.
I honestly didn't until somebody
was
like.
No, I think it skews older.
Yeah.
I didn't know about her until Wine Country. Literally the scene in Wine Country where they see Brené Brown next to them. And I was like, is this a real person?
Yeah,
and
like I thought that was a joke. I was like, this is a bad joke. This is like someone who they just made up.
She was such a bad actress that I was like, oh, this is a person playing herself. Like I can tell, but I don't know who this person is.
It must be. I mean, she's the Marianne Williamson of 2000.
But she's sort of a mixture of, isn't she like a sort of, there's a Susie Orman element in there too?
Oh, yeah,
because there's a lot of financial advice.
She's like very Shark Tanky in her vibe. Those women,
like,
and then
positive,
also meets Oprah, meets
lady,
like,
you can do it,
yeah,
control,
girl, wash
your
face or whatever that,
but it's not
is.
Quite as life coachy as like a Ianla.
I really don't know anything about her.
Hi, your weekly. It's 12:30 on a Tuesday, and I just have to know, is cottage cheese a who or a them? Crunch, crunch.
Who are them? One, two, three.
Them. What are you talking about? I love cottage cheese. This
who
is
would
rude.
Call cottage cheese a who? On the count of three, name your favorite cottage cheese brand. One, two, three.
Good
culture.
But if I can't get good culture, I settle for friendship 4%.
Oh, yeah.
Good culture, sponsor us.
Good culture, please send me a box covered in dry ice of like, send me a pallet. Just drop it off on the street in front of my house.
Send me a tub of cottage cheese. I will swim in it.
I will literally dump everything else out of my fridge and fill it with good culture.
Sorry, I can't put the seltzer in my fridge. It's filled with cottage cheese.
Hey, seltzer, you can keep room temp. Cottage cheese, you can't keep room temp.
You're so right, Bobby. You're so right.
You know what would even be more right? Good culture sponsoring us.
Hi, Who Weekly. First time. I just wanted to ask because I love her so much and I'm on my way to 30 and I don't know if kids these days know who she is, but is Enya a who or a them? Crunch, crunch. Good form, Bella Thorne.
One, two, three, them.
Them. Of course, one name. We all know Enya.
Everyone knows Enya.
Gender reveal parties. Who or them?
One, two, three.
Who?
Them with who tended these, but I also think that gender reveals are going away.
You think so? You think they're becoming hooier?
I think they're becoming sort of passe. And this doesn't even really have anything to do with, like, the politics around gender and, like, gender assigning.
Well, that's,
I think it's just
one,
like,
of the reasons.
It was a trend. I think people are like, wait, why am I doing this? I'm just saying, I feel like there are woke reasons it's going away, but I also feel like there are just very practical unwoke reasons it's going away, which is that, like, everyone's doing this now. I don't feel like this is trendy anymore, you know?
It's a very weird thing to become popular in 2018-19, don't you think? Like, it's almost weirdly the backlash to, like, the gender conversation, which is like, oh, everybody's talking about how, like, gender is fluid and doesn't matter and, like, whatever. And then the backlash that was like, we're going to have specific parties in which we reveal, like, what the gender of the baby is. Like, that's the whole point of it. Doesn't that feel so...
Oh, you don't like talking about gender binaries and you hate guns? Well, guess what? I'm going to reveal my baby's gender with a fucking gun shooting a balloon.
I mean, maybe we're reading into it a little bit. Maybe we are. But there's definitely, like, something so strange about gender reveals being popular today, now, in our current time.
And I think even people who are, like, very hellbent on the gender binary and gender assigned at birth only are even getting a little tired of it. But I don't know. I've just been seeing it less and less on people. This is anecdotal. I've been seeing gender reveals less and less on people.com.
You think so?
You won't believe this couple's gender reveal. That's I haven't seen that in a long
time. It's less on trend. Maybe they've just run out of ways to reveal.
Maybe we've run out of ways to reveal. Okay, last one.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I had a very weird encounter at Kroger not too long ago. Like, a fully grown adult man approached me asking for help finding what a mango looked like. He was trying to buy mangoes for his girlfriend, just, like, picking up pomegranates. And I was like, is this a mango? So my question for you is, are mangoes a who? Thanks. In Greece.
Before we get started, Kroger who? Regional them. Kroger who?
Yeah.
Did you have Kroger's in Mass?
No, maybe not. Not in my Mass.
We had a couple of them in Texas, but
Kroger.
Mangoes, absolutely thems. That guy is a dumbass.
I just love this story. It's like, am I nuts? Are mangoes who's? No, they're thems. That guy's weird. Also, I gotta get mangoes for my girlfriend.
For my girlfriend. I'm specifically calling him a dumbass, not because he doesn't know what a mango is. Who among us hasn't been in a produce section where it's like you're looking at a recipe and it's like, what is a scamp? Like, what? I have to get scamps? I don't know what that is. Google it. You have a phone.
What is a scamp? But also just being like, wouldn't he Google my it? Girlfriend wants me to buy mangoes. Like, I don't know what they are.
My girlfriend wants me to bring home mangoes. Can you help me, miss?
Ugh, what a fucking nightmare.
Disgusting.
What a nightmare. Anyways,
you know what's a dream, though?
The end of this episode. That's over.
The end of this episode. So thank you for listening to Who's There. Thank you for listening to Who Weekly. Thank you to Lena Dunham for calling in while she was in Wales. Me in Wales. Lena in Wales. Me in Greece. Lena in Wales. That's good.
It's Lena not, in Wales. But okay.
Me in Greece. Lena in Wales.
Thank you for leaving your reviews on iTunes. Thank you for...
We love it when you leave the reviews on Apple Podcasts. We love it when you support our Patreon, patreon.com/WhoWeekly. We love it when you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And most of all, we love it when you call 619-WHO-THEM and leave questions, comments, concerns, and hot goss. And with that, we will see you on Tuesday. Have a great holiday weekend.
Happy
if
July
you celebrate
4th
it.
Weekend.
And that's it. Although July 4th was yesterday.
Happy July
still,
4th.
You're still out and about. You're still out and about.
Weekend.
Bye.
Hey. I want to be famous.
Pete Buttigieg is tweeting about Lil Nas X. I thought I'd call in instead of screaming into the void. Crunch, crunch.